Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read first three verses together. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. So the reading of God's word, let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for these words of yours. We thank you for the word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would teach us by your Spirit. Help us to walk in your commandments for your glory. We do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as many of you know, we have been looking at what the Bible says about the Christian family, and especially what Ephesians 5 here tells us as the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to those Christians at the church in Ephesus. And as you can see this morning, Paul does not leave out the children of the church. And so we turn our focus this morning, children, to you. And so we'll have a word for you from the Bible, the Word of God, this morning. In fact, I'll just point out that in Ephesians 1, Paul begins his letter by saying in verse 1, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. And so now, as this letter would have been read publicly in the churches, he turns to the children and he tells them their calling, their duty as those who are growing up in a Christian home. And so we'll consider that this morning. We'll ask several questions or talk about several concepts within these verses. We'll look at the what, the why, the bonus, and the how of our text. What has God said? Why has He said it? What is the bonus? Perhaps an incentive, a greater incentive. And then how exactly might we do this? So first of all, let's talk about the what of the text here. It is, as you can see in verse 1, it is to obey and honor, to honor and obey your parents. Now, children, the Bible says in Psalm 127 that you are a gift from the Lord to them. And that is no doubt true. But it is also true that you can be a problem for your parents. And as we read these verses, we find out how it is that you, as their children, can be of benefit. In fact, you can be a blessing unto them, according to what God says. And so the first thing we see here, it says, children, obey. Obey your parents. And that word in the original has the idea of a continual process. It is a command. So it's not an option. You must do it. The Bible says you must obey your parents. And you must obey them at all times. And that means you must do what they tell you to do. And yet as I say that, I give this caveat. We've seen this time and again that all authority is limited authority. Whatever government we find ourselves under, there is that principle in Acts 5:29 that says we ought to obey God rather than man. And so whatever the government is, whether it's the civil government, church government, or family government, that rule applies. And so my point is that if parents command their children to sin, and therefore the children are forced to make a decision between obeying God on the one hand and obeying their parents on the other, it's never right to sin against God. And we saw, as we talked about husbands and wives and the authority within the marriage that God has given to the husband, that does not mean that he has the right to require his wife to sin. So we are told here, children, that you are to obey your parents. But also you can see there, it says in verse 2, honor your father and your mother. And so what does it mean to honor them? Well, it really means to show respect to them, to consider with some degree of reverence. That is to recognize their authority over you, to give them that recognition. And for those children who are out of the house, while it is true that there is the leave and cleave principle, that when you marry, you are to leave your father and mother and cleave to your spouse, your husband, or your wife, it is also true that this honor is to be carried through the rest of your life. Just because we get married, it does not follow that we disobey this fifth commandment. And yet there is a difference, isn't there? When a child moves out and gets married, there's a difference in that relationship between him or hers, her parent, and the child that is in the home. There is a difference, no doubt. But in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 16, Paul there is talking about the widows of the church. And he talks about those who are widows indeed. And he says that if there are those in the church who have widows in their families, they are supposed to take care of those widows first so that the church is not unnecessarily burdened. And so I bring that up because that is another way to show honor to our fathers and mothers, even in their older age, perhaps younger age, when we are out of the home. And so the command here is pretty simple. Obey them and honor them. Do what they tell you to do and show respect towards them. Pretty simple. Now Paul here also gives the why, the reason of this command. He says there in verse 1, "For this is right." It is the right thing to do when you consider the authority structure of the father and the mother over the children. It is by necessity the right thing to do. Also consider this, children. Your parents have given you your life. The Lord has given you life through them. And this, he says, is right. And we think about that word right and doing what is right. Who defines for us what is right? Well, God does. And how do we know what is right and wrong? God tells us. Where does he tell us? In his word, and especially in the commandments. And so if you look at verse 2, Paul here quotes from Exodus chapter 20 or Deuteronomy 5. He says, honor your father and mother. And so He notes that this is a commandment given by God. It is the fifth commandment. You can find that again in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. And just so you know, in Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, in chapter 21 there, verses 18 through 21, the law of old talks about the stubborn and rebellious son, who was a glutton and a drunkard, and probably posed a threat to his parents. And guess what? If that was the case, the parents were to bring this son before the courts, the elders of the city, which were like the municipality of the day, and bring that charge. And God says there that the men of the city, if this is the case, all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones, so you shall be put away. Or rather, you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. So needless to say, God frowns upon the disobedience of children. And don't worry, we're not going to stone you children for disobeying. If we had to do that, none of us would be here this morning. We're all sinners before God, and we've disobeyed, perhaps not to that extent, but we have disobeyed our parents, as we'll note later. Paul says here as well, to obey your parents, verse 1, to obey your parents in the Lord. That is for the Lord Jesus' sake. Do it out of honor for the Lord Jesus. Not because your parents deserve it. Not because of the personal character of your parents. And definitely not because we worship our parents. There have been writers who have noted that in other cultures and ages past, that there has been this commandment, this cultural aspect of the family, but often it has been associated with ancestry worship, and we definitely don't do that. If we do that, in and of itself is idolatry. And Paul here says, obey your parents in the Lord. And so this is key. It's not only key that you be trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he's addressed this church as the saints who are in Christ, those who have expressed faith in him, who have been made alive by the Spirit, and also are filled or controlled by the Spirit, as we've been saying, Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And so you have the power there by the Spirit to do this. But this right here, obey your parents in the Lord, that is key, that is crucial for obeying really any form of authority. Recognizing that God has put all authority on this earth. Yes, men may abuse that authority, and no person is perfect. And God has set other means for those who abuse authority. But here, Paul tells children they're to obey their parents in the Lord. And so do it for his sake. Do it unto the Lord. Look at your obedience to them, or even your disobedience, as obedience to the Lord or disobedience to him. Because he's given you this command. And so, we also consider then what we could call the bonus of the text. Extra incentive. And before I get into that, children, as you're thinking about this whole idea of obeying your parents and giving them honor and doing it in the Lord, unto the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you play a sport, volleyball, baseball, whatever it is, track and field, and you want to be the best that you can be in this area, would you rather ask one of your friends to help you? Or would you rather have advice and instruction given to you from a professional athlete in that field? Well, the latter. You probably would want to go to Pistol Pete's basketball camp, or Michael Jordan's basketball camp, or Acuna's baseball camp. Whatever. And when it comes to the game of life, your parents have lived a lot longer than you have. And so the point is that they know a little something about life. And as we'll see here, Paul alludes to this. And he says there in verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, what does he mean by that? There are several understandings here, several views we could say. There's the view that says this is the first of the Ten Commandments that actually has a promise connected to it. It could mean that this is the first commandment of the second table of the law, two tables of the law. And there is a promise connected to it. Others see this as, well, this is the first commandment. That is the chief commandment. And therefore, this promise is among those relating to our social duties and so forth. I simply think what Paul is saying is that this is the first of the Ten Commandments with a promise connected to it. And so notice what it is here in our text. It says in verse 3 that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Paul generalizes this, by the way, because if you go back and look at the commandments in the Old Testament, you will find that the way Paul words it here, he leaves off the concluding words, which do not limit this commandment to a specific people in a specific place and time. The Israelites who were to go into the land and so forth. And so he makes this a general principle for even children of the Gentiles, those who were not born into Israel. And earlier when I was talking about the whole sports thing, like, would you rather be instructed by your friend or a professional? Just think about this. Your parents know that if you play in traffic, it's dangerous. And so they're going to tell you not to play in traffic. And they have that wisdom. That's a very simple illustration. I'll give you another one a little later, I hope. But at any rate, we see here that the promise is that it may be well with you, verse 3. And you may live long on the earth. So what does this mean, this promise? In general, it means that you will have prosperity in this life. It doesn't necessarily mean that you will have great wealth, you know, like the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, which is a false gospel, but God will bless you. As the Old Testament says, He will make His face shine upon you in His good and merciful providence. But also here, it says that you may live long on the earth. And so He promises long life, long physical life on this earth. Now I think this promise, this principle is like the Proverbs. It is a general principle. There are exceptions in God's providence to it. But if you look at a child who has given his parents or her parents grief time and time again, and you look at their lives, they have weathered faces. They are in and out of trouble, and perhaps their lives have tragically been cut short. I think there's a little more to what Paul is saying here, and that is, you Christian parents, you have children you're rearing in your home. And children, you have Christian parents. Maybe you're a Christian already. You are trusting in the Lord Jesus. And that is wonderful. But if you're not trusting in Christ, you haven't repented of your sins, then also here, if you own your parents' discipline, if you own and believe the gospel that they believe, guess what? You too will have eternal life. In Acts chapter 2, Peter says in verse 39, the promise is to you and your children, the blessings of salvation wrought and earned by the Lord Jesus Christ will not come only to those who repent and believe in Him, but also to their children. And of course, they too need to repent and believe in the gospel. And so let me stop right here, children, and let me ask you this question. Where are you spiritually? You know about the Lord Jesus Christ? No doubt you've heard about Him in sermons and Sunday schools and lessons and song. But do you know Him? Do you know Him savingly? Have you said to Jesus, please save me from my sins. I hate my sin. Deliver me from them. Can you say with that old question and answer, goes something like this, what is your only comfort in life and death? Can you say that my only comfort in life and death is that I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ? I hope that you can. If you can't, then you're headed not to heaven, but hell. So you need to repent. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what Paul says here really is fairly simple. Obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and your mother. That's what it says. And when I say it's simple, I mean to understand what it says. But sometimes to do that is very difficult, isn't it? Well, let's talk about the how of what is said here. How we might do this. I'll probably list about 10 or 11 ways. There are probably more. But first of all, we may do this and do it with reverence in our hearts. You know, there's that old saying, you know, the parent tells the child to sit down because he or she's running around and they're not supposed to be running around. And so the child sits down with arms crossed and is thinking, well, I'm sitting down, but I'm standing up in my heart. I'm only doing this because I have to do it. Or I'm only obeying you now as a teenager because I have to do it, not because God requires me to do it, you see. And in Malachi 1 and verse 6, God is lamenting with his people as they are his children. And he says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? So there is to be a godly fear of our parents. Not that we're scared to death that they're going to hurt us, but that we fear them in that we respect them and revere them. And children, this goes for both your parents, by the way, and fathers, you need to make sure this happens as well in your home. Leviticus 19:3 says, every one of you shall revere his mother. It says it first. You shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. So you are to do this in your heart, for out of your heart flows the issues of life. Second way is with reverence in our words. We've looked at Proverbs 31, and in verse 28 it says, her children, that virtuous woman's children, they rise up and call her what? Blessed. Children. Let me tell you a sin that will be very simple for you to make in your home. And that is to take your parents for granted, to be unthankful towards God, but also your parents. And so you should tell them thank you. You should give them the credit that is due to them. And ultimately, all credit goes to God and His glory, of course. But speak a kind word to your parents. A third way is with reverence in behavior. So we talked about our hearts, our words, and our behavior. Thought, word, and deed. We could put it that way as well. Think about this. In Leviticus 19, verse 32, it says, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. And so there we are told to stand before those who are older, even the elderly. In 1 Kings 2:19, it's David who stood when his mother entered the room. You know, we have all of these, well, how can I say this? We've lost a good many of our Southern Christian manners and practices over the years. And this was one of them. This was never taught in my home. That is to stand when elderly people come, when people of authority come, or even when women walk into the room. We've lost that. That's just one way to apply how to reverence them in behavior. But also, you can honor your parents by praying for them. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul, speaking to the church, says that the church is to make supplication, to give prayers and intercessions, and to give thanks for all men and kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. And so if we as the church are to pray for those who are in authority over us in the civil sphere, how much more, children, should we be praying for our parents who are in authority over us? Also, you can honor them by imitating their godly character. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account." Elsewhere, Paul says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." And you can honor your parents if you see them doing something that is right, that is honorable, that is good, that is required by God. Apply that in your life as it is fitting in your life. Also, we can honor them, as the text even says here, by willfully obeying their lawful commands. In Proverbs 4, it says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine," or teaching. "Do not forsake my law." When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother. Give heed to the instruction of your parents. Now, what if you disagree with your parents? What if you don't believe in what they are doing, or if they are sinning? Well, don't sin in their honor. And if you strongly disagree with them, and when you're older, this might happen. I should say this probably will happen. You will have a disagreement if you haven't already. Then what do? Well, you can appeal. You may appeal to your parents, and this is how you do it. Respectfully, honorably, and it's probably always best to do so by asking a question. Don't accuse. Don't make these broad generalizations. "You always do this, Mom and Dad. You'd never want me to do this. Da, 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 da." No. "Mom, Dad, I want to honor you, but is this really the case? May I do this? May you give this a second thought?" You see the difference there? You're honoring them. It doesn't, just because we're told to honor our parents doesn't mean that we agree with everything they think, say, and do. But yet, the command is to obey and honor. Number 7, we may honor them by submitting to their good correction. In Hebrews 12, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." And so the author argues from the lesser to the greater, from our human fathers to our heavenly Father. And he notes how our human fathers, earthly fathers, they gave us correction. They did what seems best to them at the time. And the implication, I think, is they did that for our good. Well, how much more does our heavenly Father discipline us and instruct us and do so for our good? And our good there is holiness, to obey the Lord and give God all the glory. And just note that verse, children and fathers and mothers. It says, for a few days, you know, you're in your parents' house for a few days. That's the perspective of Scripture. It's not eternity. It's not long decades. It's just a few days. It seems like forever. But for a few days, they chastened us as seemed best to them. Probably your parents are teaching you, giving you boundaries, yes, disciplining you as best, as seems best to them. Another way, an eighth way we can honor our parents is to be faithful to them, Titus 2, 9 and 10. A ninth way is by defending their good name. That's the ninth commandment. And we're not to bear false witness. And part of the application of that, not bearing false witness, is to defend the good name of our neighbor. And of course, that applies to our parents. Don't let others think something about our parents that isn't true. To go a step further, a tenth way would be to bear with our parents in their infirmities, that is, their weaknesses, yes, even their sin. And covering them in love. Don't go out telling other people, other children or adults, how your parents sin and how awful they are, unless you're harmed and need help in that way. But we're to cover their infirmities and weaknesses. In Genesis 9, in verses 20 through 23, it says, Noah, he grew a vineyard, he drank from the wine, he got drunk, and he was naked. That was a dishonorable thing. And so Ham saw it, and he disgraced his father. He went out and told his brothers. Well, his brothers, knowing what to do, they grabbed a covering, a sheet probably or something, walked backwards and covered their father's nakedness. And while it is true, Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." It is also true that Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins." Proverbs 28:13 is saying that if you do not confess your sins to God, you will not prosper. Proverbs 10:12 talks about hatred towards our brothers and sisters and our neighbors. And we should cover their sins. It doesn't mean lie. It doesn't mean never rebuke someone or anything like that. But bear up with them and be long-suffering. And then there is an 11th way. And children, if you've checked out, please check back in. The best thing you children of Christian parents can do as their children is to own their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The best thing you can do, I mean, all these other things are great and good and necessary. The best thing that tops them all is to own their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean by own their faith? What I mean is, first of all, you don't get into heaven simply because they're Christians. The Bible says, if any man loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. That means the wrath of God abides on you, John 3, because you have not believed in the name of the Son of God. And so you must believe in Jesus. You must come to faith in Him on your own, with God's help, yes. God is the one who will enable you to do that. But you must personally call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And that is the greatest way you can give honor to your parents. Think about that refrain in the Old Testament. It's even mentioned, I think, in the New Testament. God often says that He is the God of whom? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's grandfather, father, and son. Jesus, of course, in Matthew 22, concludes based on that, that they are in heaven with God and that there will be this resurrection, that there is a resurrection. But how wonderful is it to hear God say that these three generations are all in heaven, that they all belong to the God of Israel. Don't you want to be in heaven with your parents, children? Then call upon Christ if you never have and follow Him. Now, I once was a child. I still am a son. And I am also a father. And so I know that there will be objections to some of the things I've been talking about. And I wanted to address just a couple. First of all, you might be sitting there and children, I'm not assuming this of you, but again, I know how the human heart works. You might be sitting there and thinking, okay, I'm going to receive this outwardly. I'm going to conform to this. But you don't know my parents, man. If you only knew. I mean, they are unreasonable. they are hypocrites. And younger children may not think this. You may not. Maybe you have. But as you get older, there's going to be a struggle at times in the home because children grow into young adults. And young adults want to exercise their authority and independence. And yet they're under their parents' authority. And so we talk about the teenage years and that whole struggle. We've been through it as children. And we who are parents of teenagers, we go through it at times. You children, remember this. When you think your parents are being unreasonable, let me just say, first of all, that is a possibility. It is a possibility. But think about this. There probably was a time in your childhood when you were told not to touch the stove or the pot on the stove because it is hot and you will get burned. And guess what some of you did? You touched the stove, you touched the pot, and guess what? You've got burned. So you learned the meaning of no. And at that moment you learned, Mommy and Daddy are right. They knew something I didn't know. But you grow older and you forget. Mommy and Daddy know things you don't know. And so if you think your parents are being unreasonable, especially you teenagers, preteens, and all that, think about that. You might be, first of all, you might be surprised at the reason they seem to smother you. Maybe they make you wear a padded suit and you can play in a padded room. I'm speaking figuratively. But it's because they love you. They don't want you to get hurt. They care for you. It could be that they don't want you to make some of the mistakes that they made when they were younger. Maybe these demands are to protect you and to protect you from things they've seen in the world that you have not seen. Also, consider that your parents are sinful and finite. My parents are hypocrites. To that I say, well, duh. We're all hypocrites to a degree, aren't we? We all say things and do things we shouldn't when we know what's right. But your parents, they're going to sin. And they're infinite. Their wisdom is granted to them by God through the Word of God, by the Spirit. And they don't know everything. But neither do you. And so you're in this together. And then consider, you may not know everything about their childhood. They're growing up, their teenage years. There may be reasons, right or wrong, as to why they treat you like they do. And this is no excuse. If it is unreasonable, if it is wrong, it's no excuse. But you are called to obey them and honor them, to obey all of their lawful commands. And if you grow up in a home that's like this, and you're older, and you still disagree, maybe you're even a little bit bitter, or you become bitter. Let me just offer this for you, to you. In Matthew 7, verses 1 through 4, Jesus tells us, before we correct anyone else, check our own hearts. Examine yourself. Look at the plank that's in your eye. Remove it so that you can see clearly to remove the speck in your brother or sister's eye. Also, Ephesians 4:32. We've talked about this in the marriage. It applies in the parent and child relationship both ways. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You must be ready to forgive your parents if they are sinning against you, if they have. And if necessary, respectfully, honorably communicate any hurt that you have received or perceived that you have received, your frustrations. And then take this as well. Improve upon the parenting of your parents. Now, some of you are such good parents that that's going to be a hard thing to do. I look at my own generation. I think about my father's line and my mother's line. My father's line, maybe there was faith there, and maybe here and there. My mother's line, there was faith going to her mother, my aunts and uncles, grandparents, yes, but I think it was a small faith. Nevertheless, God has been faithful. And so you bring that to the marriage, into my home, them being my parents, and there's much room for improvement. Just the fact that I, as the dad, take my children to worship is huge. The fact that I crack open the Bible, talk about the Lord, that's huge. And so I hope my children will not only do that, but they will be greater lovers of Jesus, and they will be greater Christian parents in their home. You see, I have that hope. And so hopefully that reversal through the generations will take place. And you, children, perhaps you think you know it all. Maybe you don't, but you have grievances. Consider that you too should seek to improve upon the parenting of your own parents. And then I want to address all of us here, because we are all children of someone. We all have a father and mother, earthly parents. And perhaps there are some who have been mistreated in some way, even abused verbally, God forbid, physically and sexually. Or maybe you've never known your biological parents. Let me just say that abuse of children is a horrific and terrible thing. I've known people to suffer that. And sometimes I thought maybe I was abused because my dad slapped me across the face when I didn't lie and he thought I did. But I look at other children and I'm like, no, my dad is a good father. He had common grace. Well, I remind you that there will be a day of judgment when all things are made right by God. But also that Jesus Christ has entered this fallen world and redeemed it. And because of Jesus, you can have the church as your family. You can have Jesus as your brother and God as your father. If you're a Christian, this is true of you. God is your father, the one who is holy and pure and just, the one who does what is right every time and who is merciful, the one who cannot lie, who keeps his promises, who has loved you with an everlasting love that will never fade away, the one who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so the gospel should transform all of us this morning as we consider that. And so, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And because this is the example left to you by the Lord Jesus, who obeyed perfectly His heavenly Father. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness to us, bringing us into your kingdom, that of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our elder brother, that we have you as our Father, that we even have your Spirit to offer comfort and encouragement and conviction, all in Christ. Help us to obey and honor our parents in the Lord. We ask in Christ's name, amen.